That was fun. You're just saying all sorts of words, weren't you? Love, joy, trust. Love, joy, trust. Which one is it? It's all of them. It's all of them. We want to do all of them today. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's Easter still. We're Easter people. Amen. There is a certain moment in time when an astronaut goes through a life-changing process. Their world is forever altered. Their perspective on the world and what really matters, they say, psychologists say this, is forever changed. Their perspective on life completely is altered. It's been studied by psychologists and books have been written about it. This moment is called the overview effect. Good timing, Seamus. The overview effect. It's a true psychological phenomenon, and it happens at a very specific moment. It happens when an astronaut leaves planet Earth, launches past the Earth's atmosphere, and goes hundreds of thousands of miles into outer space. But for a moment, instead of looking out towards their destination, wherever it may be, the astronaut looks back and takes a look at an overview of planet Earth. It's said that practically every astronaut that has had this moment has a life-changing experience. One woman who was an astronaut went up to this moment of the overview effect, looked back on planet Earth and saw how tiny and fragile the Earth looked. It brought her to faith. Then she saw the atmosphere of planet Earth and how thin it was and how everything could fall apart rather quickly, and it brought her to Christian faith and belief. Another famous astronaut, James Irwin, had the overview effect when he looked back on planet Earth, and it was the size of a marble as he looked out from the spacecraft. And when he did that, he realized the complexity of God's creation. And he came to the personal belief that God loved him dearly. Do you need an overview effect today? We all do. A moment to pause and just realize how magnificent God's love is for our lives. Now, I'm looking out here this morning. I don't see anybody in a spaceship, space outfit this morning. Maybe Dave Letting. No, he's not. I knew I could say that, you'd get a laugh out of him. You know, none of us are astronauts. We're not going to have that overview effect. It's a real phenomenon. I know I'm not going to, because I can't get 10 feet up on a ladder. I got a phobia about heights. How can we have a life-changing, transformative moment in our lives to realize the depth of God's love and what he's done for us? I believe that's John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. See, our text here, and I kind of hinted at it this morning before I read it, it's a transitional moment in the Gospels because Jesus is going away. This text is the beginning of what is called the farewell discourse. Jesus is prepping his disciples that he's going away. This moment takes place in the upper room. This is Monday, Thursday night. Up to this moment in John chapter 13, Jesus has kind of had his feet on the ground. Yes, there's been miracles, but a lot of his ministry was just kind of life down on the ground with his disciples. They went to weddings, enjoyed the wedding feast in Cana, John chapter 2. They engaged with people of all sorts of backgrounds and perspectives. They had breakfast. They had dinner together. They traveled from town to town. They interacted with people. Now, to be sure, the disciples and Jesus knew about love. It was described in Leviticus chapter 19. Everyone knew about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think what Jesus was doing for his disciples and for us was taking up high. To have an overview effect, a new kind of love. So Jesus says famously, a love that that doesn't end, a love that no one's ever heard before, a love that's so special. So Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. A new, that entele in the Greek. That's wild. No one was supposed to add to the commandments. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. This passage, by the way, Shemus, if you forward just for a second, I just want to put the words up here. This is John chapter 13, verse 34. Just some background so you know where this comes from. A new commandment in the Latin, this is not in the Greek, in the Latin it says mandatum. That's where we get mande from. That's where that comes from. Mandatum is a mandate. It's a command. And so Jesus gave this command in this moment, a new perspective, a special kind of love, a love that doesn't just do something so that you can get something in return, a love that is not so much about getting pats on the back and recognition so that you can be recognized in front of others, a love that's so deep that it impacts others, a love that's so deep that we are changed, a love that is so deep that you wouldn't want to live any other way. Jesus came in John 13 to give an overview effect, to transform us in his love, a total new way of love. You know, if you're like me and you hear this morning, you might be thinking, I don't know if I feel that overview effect. I mean, life is so mundane and I just am getting by each week. How could I ever live this kind of love that Jesus is talking about? And I relate to that. I put together a checklist for us this morning. Seamus, you can forward the slides here. And this checklist, at the end of the day, if I've checked one of these as a pastor, I've realized I haven't been living in God's love. Let's go through these. You can... Those online, you can take a look, pause the video, take a look. Those that are here, go back, watch the video. Use this checklist. When I am following Jesus' command to love others, number one, it drains me physically, emotionally, relationally. If I'm loving others and at the end of the day I'm drained physically, emotionally, whatever it may, physically, emotionally, financially, that's not his love. I sometimes check that box when I do things out of duty and obligation, just to get it done. That's not the love Jesus is talking about. Number two on the checklist, I am following Jesus' command to love, and when I do, there isn't any self-sacrifice from me. That's kind of the opposite of that first one. And sometimes I check that box because I think that I'm loving someone, but I'm insisting on things going my way. I'm going to love them my way, even though it really doesn't make an impact with the other person. Ever been guilty of that before? Just insisting on loving someone, but doing it on your terms. That's not Jesus' life-transforming love. Number three on the checklist. When I follow Jesus' command to love, and I do it so that I can get recognition from others, a pat on the back or a big statement about what I've done, doesn't that feel good? Don't you like that? When people recognize that we've done something extraordinary? But if that's the motivation for love, that is not Jesus' love. Finally, when I follow Jesus' command to love and I still hold a grudge towards someone, I love them, but I still hold it against them that they did that back in 1984. Or they did that Halloween back in 2023. That's keeping track. Love keeps no track of sin. That is not Jesus' love. Every day we can take this quiz to see how we're doing and keep accountable to ourselves. Sometimes I do that with lists like this. And if we're marking off any of these points, love is just a concept. It's just a philosophy. It doesn't have its way with us. We're not transformed. Jesus came to transform us, to get out of the muck of the day-to-day living so that we could be about a love that is so different, life-changing. Jesus came not to let us define what love is. People are doing that all the time. Love on their own terms. Jesus came, and in our text it says, copy what I do. I'm giving you a design for what you should do to love others. So this morning I want to show you a picture that you can use to know that you're loving someone. This was used in the caregiving class this last week, the online Zoom class. This is developed by Stephen Ministry. If you can do this, you will be loving someone. Go ahead and transition here. And I know the resolution is difficult. Online it might be a little bit easier, but I'm going to talk us through this picture. I believe what Jesus came to do was to build a house for each person. Each person that he came across, he built a house. You know how houses are built. There's a foundation on the bottom. If a house doesn't have a foundation, it isn't going to last. The foundation that Jesus gave in every relationship was grace-based. In other words, Jesus was patient. He didn't hurry people along with their answers. He didn't demand anything from people that they obey and this sort of thing. Jesus was patient. Jesus was non-judgmental. That was the grace-based foundation. Jesus interacted with people with all sorts of political backgrounds. Jesus interacted with people from all sorts of places on the earth. He was non-judgmental. He didn't pigeonhole people and say that they fit into this category or that category. Jesus had a positive regard for every person that he interacted with. How powerful is that? He thought about what they would become and who they might become. That was the foundation of every relationship that Jesus ever had. But is a house complete if it just has a foundation? Has anyone built a house and just laid the foundation, that's it? Anybody ever done that? That wouldn't be wise. There's something else that we need. We need a front door. Does everyone have a front door? I hope so. We have a front door. The front door that Jesus offered was trust. With every person that Jesus came into contact with, he pledged his commitment. He pledged his constancy with them. To his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. Dear friends, and you probably know this from reality, a house isn't complete if you've got the foundation and you got a front door. What else do you need? You need walls. Walls. The walls that Jesus gave stability and gave a sense of structure. The walls that Jesus gave people are two. I'll name two. One was Jesus listened. He didn't jump in and do miracles. That's not the Gospels. He could have. He let people share their experiences. He didn't plan a reply to interrupt others. He listened. The other wall that Jesus offered every single person was empathy. A heart towards their concern. And you have to think that those who felt social isolation, those that were lonely, were connected with Jesus just because of the empathy that he showed others. But you all know, you can't build a house just on a foundation, just with a front door and with a couple of walls hanging on the side. What else do you need? What else do you need in a house? Got to have a roof. No one, wait, does anyone not have a roof in the church? Okay. You got to have a roof. I'm going to suggest and modernize this a little bit here. Again, this is based on Stephen Ministry principles. The roof is confidentiality. That is a beautiful gift you can give to someone. Jesus gave it to people in that he didn't use their name in one setting and then go to another setting. Jesus didn't blurt it out on social media what he was doing in a moment. He gave the gift of confidentiality to every person. He honored them in the connection he made with them. If you have someone in life that offers these to you, you have a special safe house. You are loved. And that is love. This is love, not just gift giving, not just words. This. Love. And you are loved. This is the overview effect that Jesus wanted to transform his disciples and his followers for all time. Seamus, if you can transfer, go ahead and go to the next slide here. Here's an overview effect. By the way, do you recognize this town? Anybody out there? This is an over effect of Philomath in the 1950s. This is what it looked like in the 1950s. I kind of think it's interesting. I found it online. It comes from the Benton County Museum. You'll notice a few interesting aspects of it if you take a look at it. Again, online, you can pause and take a look. You can see Philomath Boulevard, that's there. This is pre-couplet. Some of you are saying, those were the good old days, pre-couplet. Oh, we don't have to do that. And then just south of there was, you can see Applegate Street. I find this interesting. You can see 11th Street going pretty far north. So that was kind of the main street to get into Philomath, it looks like. Some of you folk might remember that. So that's really interesting. Then you see some buildings. This is the old roller skating rink down on the left-hand side. And then you can see what's now the Benton County Museum, and you can see our Methodist friends, the Methodist Church. You can even see the church at the year that this was put together in 1950s. Peace Lutheran was upright right up there on the hill. That's where this church worshiped. That's an aerial view of Philomath. Now let's transition. Now, how about an aerial view today? This is a difficult picture, but do you notice how many homes have been built since 1950? Oh my goodness. Some of you are looking at your home right now, maybe. And what you see is like, boy, there was a moment, hundreds of homes have been built since 1950. Moments in which people walked into their home and said, this belongs to me, how special it is. Dear friends, go ahead and transition one more. This is what Jesus has built for each one of us. He's built a safe house, built on grace, built on empathy, built on listening, built on confidentiality, built on trust. And that is how the church is built. One house at a time, one person at a time. And dear friends, God has called us. You're called. You're called to build homes like this for other people. There is great desperation in our community for these gifts. Grace, empathy, listening, confidentiality. It is the greatest form of love that I can imagine in the 21st century. Now, friends, today Jesus comes to us and he wants to give us an overview effect. We come today. And that's what Holy Communion is, by the way. We come today to church and we're in the busyness of our lives. We have the routines that we cherish and we're in the muck of life. And Jesus comes to us, meets us. It's his real presence here this morning. It's not just a doctrine. It's a life transformation gift for us. We come to the table feeling overwhelmed, burdened, whatever it may be. And when we leave, it's like an astronaut high up in the sky. Jesus has transformed us, and the pastor says, depart in peace and love. God is with you. Be transformed today. Let love, the deep love of John 13, build homes in people's lives, not physical homes, but a place where they can experience love in an amazing way today. Let's pray about that, then we'll share the creed. Lord, there's a desperation for what we've talked about today, to experience empathy, to receive confidentiality, to be listened to not be judged, but to be loved. Lord, may we follow not our pattern, but may we follow the pattern you set in the way that you ministered to people. We thank you that it's so clear and obvious. Lord, let that love be a great pattern for us to follow in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.